grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on the Word of God today, 13th Sunday after Pentecost, is our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 51, especially verse 1, where it says, "You who pursue righteousness, look to the quarry from which you were dug." Look to the quarry from which you were dug. You know, we actually live in a pretty amazing place. Now you say to me, what do you mean, Medford, Oregon? It's a pretty amazing place. Now, there's the obvious things. I mean, we have our mountains and volcanoes and forests and the coast, and that's all beautiful. Those are the big things. Those are the obvious things. But we have a lot else. Smoking. There you go. We'll get to that in a second, Chandra. We have a lot else. What do we have? We have flowers. Wildflowers. We have the dwarf woolly meadow foam, which grows on the Table Rocks and no place else in the entire world. We have the Wairika phlox, which grows only on a couple of hillsides in Wairika, a pretty little magenta-colored flower, and it grows nowhere else in the entire world. We have the Mount Ashland lupin, which grows on Mount Ashland and nowhere else in the entire world. Stubby little thing. Most lupins are about 2 feet high. This is just about 6 inches tall. That's all the taller that it grows, but it's definitely a lupin. Now, we have certain trees that grow only in the Klamaths. We have the insect-eating Darlingtonias as you go toward the coast, although who knows with the fire now. We have, when the weather gets cooler and wetter, we have all kinds of mushrooms and funguses that spring up out of the ground, all different sorts of colors. We have all different sorts of birds over by Klamath Falls, sandhill cranes, desert birds, some of them very brightly colored, look like canaries. We have some amazing things here. But more than anything else, what do we have? We have, yeah, smoke. We have rocks. We have rocks. We have lots of rocks. We have basalt, and we have andesite, and we have white granite down by Ashland. We have red granite over by Gold Hill. We got sandstones underneath the manor along I-5. You'll see them there. And if you have eyes to see and a head to think, you will notice that wherever there are rocks and wherever there are roads, you put them together and you will find quarries. Quarries to build the roads or to build houses or to build foundation and that sort of thing. They're all over the place. They're on 66. They're on Forest Service roads. They're on top of Mount Roxanne. There's a quarry there. I asked my son about that, about all the different quarries. You know, he works with the roads crew for Jackson County. And he said, well, Dad, there's the granite pit that has screened granite, decomposed granite. There's 3/4 minus for shouldering work. That's 3/4 inch wide with a little bit extra small stuff in it. There's 4 inch minus. There's 4 inch clean. There's 3/8 inch clean for chip seal. There's red cinder for sanding from Rocky Point Quarry. There's 1/4 ten for sanding. There's reject fines that are powdery for sanding and doing fog seal. And I'm trying to write all this down. And there's more than that. 15 or 20 different kinds of grades of things, all different sorts of quarries all over the place for roads, for buildings, for that sort of thing. But among all those quarries, there is one that is different. It's not used anymore, at least as best as you can tell. There's a lot of bushes growing up around it, not by the county or anybody else. And you can spot it on a satellite photo, if you take a look at the satellite photos, because it stands out bright white amidst all the other green trees. And if you research the old geological articles from way back, what they will tell you is that this quarry is a source for monument-grade marble. Monument-grade marble. In other words, it has the color and the structure and the quality that is suitable for carving into statues. Now, in Medford, we don't have a whole lot of statues, do we? But we got a lot of tombstones, and you can carve it into tombstones. Will and I went out there, and we took back a couple of scrap pieces, and we went away at our scrap pieces with files and sandpaper, because marble is workable. It's fairly soft as far as rocks go. You go after it with a file and grind away at it, and then you go after it with sandpaper, and then finally you get a wet cloth with rock polish on it, and you polish it by hand. And this is what you end up with. Monument-grade marble. Not andesite, not basalt, not granite, but monument-grade marble. Cleans up pretty nice. It's actually very attractive rock. And if you think about it, it's a lot like the story of a Christian person. It's a lot like your story. It's a lot like my story. Anybody who is a child of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because what the Lord did was he took a piece of scrap, a piece of scrap that wasn't doing anybody any good. There was no use for it, and God went to work. He went to work, and he sent his son and shed his blood for you so that you could be washed clean, so that you could wash your robes white in the blood of the Lamb, like the white of the marble there. He applied that salvation to you when you got baptized. That's why we baptize the little ones. And in your baptism, he gave you his Holy Spirit so you could believe. He gave you the miracle of faith. You weren't going to get there on your own. Nobody polishes themselves. And so the scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The scripture says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. Nobody polishes himself. This not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. If you are monument-grade marble, polished clean and made white in the blood of the Lamb, there's no credit to you. That was all the work of God. It was all his grace, all his gift. And so, we say in our little catechism, if you remember the words, we say in our little catechism, I believe that Jesus Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver or a file or sandpaper, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And this is most certainly true. This is most certainly true. Of course, it sounds more true in here than it does when you have to go out in the world. Because when you go out in the world, you're going to see all manner of people. All manner of people dug out of all kind of quarries. All sorts of quarries that are the source for them. You're going to see people who reject Jesus, people who are indifferent to the Lord Jesus, people who give a smile and good words when it comes to Jesus, but that's all. You're going to see folks who embrace the empty promises of this world as if they were actual gold rather than fool's gold. You're going to find people who are even hostile to the Lord Jesus and make no bones about it. And When you encounter such people, and there seem to be so many of them, at least if the news is right, there seem to be so many of them, and it's kind of new to us. But if you step back for a moment, you're going to recognize that all of this has happened before. You'll read Isaiah chapter 51, and you'll say to yourself, you know, this has all happened before. And you'll look at your Lord Jesus, and you'll recognize this has all happened before. Read Isaiah 51 outside of our lesson, another part of the chapter, and it talks about the reproach of man, people mocking believers for being stupid enough to go with Jesus. You'll read there about believers who are dismayed because others revile them. You'll read about believers who are afraid all the time because of the opposition of oppressors. And then you look at your Lord Jesus. You'll look up at the window over here and you'll see him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And what's happening? He's suffering and he's basically alone. And then you look at the cross window over there and Jesus is doing what? He's dying and he's basically alone. But do your math. There's more than just two windows in here. Yes, he did suffer. Yes, he did die for the sins of the world. But then you look over here and you see that on the third day he was resurrected, raised from for a victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil. Not only was he raised from the dead, what do you have over here? Jesus ascended into heaven. What do we confess? He sits at the right hand of the Father. From thence he will what? Come to judge the living and the dead. Make no mistake, Jesus will have the last word. Now, it is true that sometimes we go out into the world and we find ourselves saying the words of Psalm 2. And we pray, Lord, we say, why? Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? Why do the kings of the earth rise up? Why do the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed? Why do they say, let us burst their bonds apart and cast them away from us? And it seems like there's so many of them and they're so indifferent or so resistant or so hostile. And we say what? We start biting our nails. We start pointing with our finger. And we say, well, look at that quarry over there. Look what they're doing. Look at this quarry over here. And look at this quarry here. And look at this quarry over here. That one over there is full of a bunch of folks who are just cinders. And these people are basalts, and these people are andesites, and these people are sandstones, and these people are decomposing granite. And we get worked up at what's going on at all the quarries. Everywhere you turn, there's so many. And the Lord says in today's lesson, he says, listen to me. Listen to me. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. Look to the quarry from which you were dug. Don't look at the basalt. Don't look at the andesite. Don't look at the decomposing granite. Look to the quarry from which you were dug. By the grace of God, not your doing. Monument-grade marble. He says, look to Abraham. Look to Sarah. He was but one when I called him, but so that I might bless him and multiply him. Abraham, what do we know? What does the scripture tell us? It tells us that Abraham was a man of God, but starting before that, it says Abraham believed God, he trusted the Lord, he had his faith in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned that to him as righteousness. It wasn't his goodness, it wasn't his obedience, it was his faith, and so also you and me. That's the quarry that we were dug from. We were washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Monument-grade marble, no credit to you, no credit to me. It was the grace of God. And then, in Isaiah 51, we go farther. Saved by grace through faith, and not only that, how many Christians were there in the world at that time, at the time of Abraham and Sarah? How many? You know, thank you. One, two. There were two of them, two Christians in the whole wide world, even rarer than Wairika flocks. two Christians in the whole wide world. The Christian church had only two members, and the Christian church had two elderly members. Very elderly. Talk about a rare species. Talk about an endangered species. But from those two elderly members of his church, the Lord brought all of us here today, and every Christian person who truly knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior. The Lord Jesus said it, Matthew chapter 16. He said, I'll build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now we should put a period right there, and an amen right there, and an exclamation point right there. Except for you and for me, something keeps saying inside what? Yes, but what about all the other quarries? And what about all the other people? And what about the things that they're doing? What about the state of the church? And what about the state of the world? Lord, look around. Don't you see? And he says, Isaiah 51, okay, let's look around. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like what? Smoke. Good. That's a good one for today. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And they who dwell in it will die in like manner. Don't be too impressed by all the quarries and all the rock that are producing and all the people that are coming out of that. They will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. And if the Lord's not dismayed, why are you dismayed? Why am I dismayed? Listen to me, he says. Listen up. You who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, you who know that the most important thing is to be right with the Lord and to know him in faith, look to what? Look to the quarry from which you were dug. Don't stress about the other quarries. Don't stress about what other people are doing or saying. You be together with the Lord Jesus. You go with the Lord Jesus. You be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. You go together with Abraham and Sarah as they did when there were just two of them and the church was that small, because the Lord's salvation will be forever and his righteousness will never be dismayed. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your heart and your mind through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.